Moses was about to die. He had been leading God's people. He'd led them out of bondage, out of Egypt. And now for 40 years, he had led them on a sort of a detour. They had supposed to go into the promised land, but they had rebelled. And so for 40 years in the wilderness, they were on this detour. And now they were at the brink of going into the land of Canaan, the land of promise. And he had a final exhortation. Moses gave a final exhortation in Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, verses 15 through 20, which I'll read. And you know, if you'd like to stand during the reading of the Lord's Word, you may do so, because some people like to do that, and it helps them. They don't like to sit too long. So if you'd like to do that, you may stand for the reading of the Lord's Word. Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Again, Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask, Father God, that you would bless this message and help us to choose life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Life comes from love. And to have life, we must obey the God of love. We look at that statement after we've read what Moses said about choosing life. And we realize that all creation and all of life in creation comes out of the overflowing love relationship between the three persons of the triune Godhead. That love has gone on for eternity. That's why you can say God is love, because love is eternal, because the Trinity is eternal, and the Trinity has always been in love with each other. And that love has been shared through creation, especially life. Life has been shared, not just the material world, but God created life on this planet and in this universe. He created angelic life, but he created life out of dust, out of material things. He created life, which is an amazing thing when you think about it. But especially human life. Life, especially human life in particular, has come out of love. Love is the origin of human life. And its ongoing support. It's what keeps us here on this planet. It says in Paul, Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, in him we live and move and have our being. All life comes from God, the God of love. We always say that, God is love. Yes, that's why I've entitled this, God's will is life. God's will is life. Now, that can have two meanings. And those two meanings I've combined for the bulk of what this message is about in this sermon. So the theme of this sermon is God's will is life in two facets. First of all, God's will, his plan, his purpose, his desire, is life. That's what he wanted. That's what comes out of this love relationship. Now, it's a theological fact. That is clearly seen in the results of his creation. You just look around at the creation. It teems with life. You look at the ocean, it's just full of life. That's because God is love, and love comes from life. He cares about life. He cares about the life of His creatures, and He provides for their preservation. I want to read Psalm 104, not the whole psalm because it's very long, and it had a lot of verses just like this that you could read. But Psalm 104, verses 24 through 30, we will not stand for this one. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things, both large and small. There go the ships, to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. God is providence. Have you ever heard or read in some of these older writings, and they write in capital letters, they say providence. And they're talking about God. They're calling God providence. Providence this. Providence did that. And what they're doing is talking about a characteristic of God. He is a providing God who preserves His creatures, who preserves His creation. We see this in that psalm. But humans, us, we are special part of creation because we have a special kind of life because we were made in the image of God. We were made in God's likeness. And we were made in God's likeness and in His image to physically represent Him to all creation. We are the representatives of God to creation by being made in His image and, of course, the things He gave us to do. We were supposed to manage it, to represent Him and to management in His name, in His stead. But our very bodies themselves, our very physical bodies, male and female, in His image, as it says, represent God in a more special way even than that. A very, very special way. The triune love within the unity of the Godhead, those three beings that are one because of their love is so strong. They are totally in unity. That's why we say tri-unity, Trinity. It's a tri-unity. It's three persons. They are distinct persons. But they are so much one, they are one God. And we even call Him God, He, God, Him, you know, because they're so one in their love. That God of triune love brings forth life. That is imaged specifically in the one flesh relationship between a man and a woman in the marital union. That's something that brings forth new life. You see the relationship? The key is love in unity, and it brings forth created life. And marriage between a man and a woman, their physical union, also is a union of, supposed to be in marriage, love. And it brings forth new life. God intended this from the beginning, to image Himself, to show what the Trinity really was and what it does. It brings forth life. God's will is life. And this is what Pope John Paul has been talking about in his Theology of the Body. It's, as I said, it's one of the first complete biblical theologies of its kind that's ever been done in the history of the Church. And I'm really ecstatic about it because it's validated and corroborated everything I've been teaching for the past 4 years about the body. It's amazing. I never knew it existed. And it was already out there being preached by a man named Christopher West, who's been doing it for 17 years to try to bring this really high theology down to people so they can understand it. And I was just talking to a friend of mine who's an artist, and I was talking about some of these issues, and she said, "Oh, have you read the Theology of the Body?" She's Catholic. She said, "Have you read the Theology of the Body?" I said, "You already know about that." And I said, "Oh yeah, a lot of people know about that." But I never knew about it, so I'm glad right now. In spite of its sinful misuse outside of marriage, physical sexual union was intended to demonstrate to us and to all creation that the loving marital union of male and female persons reflects the loving spiritual union of the three persons within the Godhead, as the Godhead brings forth life, bringing forth new life into the world. God is love, and love comes, and life comes from love. The opposite of life is death. The opposite of life is death. And if life comes from love, then death comes from sin, which we know. That's what the Bible teaches a lot. We major on that. We talk a lot about that. We talk a lot about death coming from sin. And we talk, maybe that's been our whole message. And we don't always think about the life issue, that it comes from love. The deception of Satan that originally led the human race into sin and death is the same deception that keeps us alienated from God, alienated from each other, and alienated from our bodies as male and females, which were intended to broadcast in creation this glorious image of the Trinitarian God. So there's a lot of alienation besides just death. Death is speaking more about this alienation than anything else, not just the separation of our bodies from spirit and how we die, but death as a separation from God, as death as a separation from each other, death as an alienation from our bodies, so that we are not in sync with our own selves. Well, as we look at that, these two meanings that I've talked about, God's will is life. It means that the planned purpose of God, of the God of love, is life. But it also means something else. It means that His expressed will, in other words, His word, His communication to us, what comes from Him, leads to life. What the Word of God leads us to life. And we've taught that before. We've heard that many times. God's Word is our life. You know, that Peter said to Jesus, he said, "Are you going to leave too?" And he said, "No, Lord, you have the words of life." And we know that. So God's will is life. In other words, the next point is God's will, His principles, His precepts, His word is life. God brought us forth into life by His breath, the breath of His mouth. And He causes us to live spiritually as we feed upon every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, we were created by the breath of God from His mouth, and we live upon what comes from that breath, which is a communication of His word. So really, these two things are both together. This idea that God breathed out from His love, He breathed us into existence, but now, because of His word and His communication, He nurtures and preserves our life. That's so important to see. And if we do not eat from His word, if we do not feed upon His word, then we die spiritually. Moses was pointing out to the Israelites. He was trying to say, "I want you to go towards life and not death. I want you to go away from death and I want you to go towards life. Choose life." If they obey the God of love, who had communicated His will to them, especially in the Ten Commandments, but there are very many moral commandments within the Old Testament that relate to the Ten Commandments that we should continue to study. If they would do that, if they would obey His law, they would live. They would have life. Canaan would be a land of flourishing prosperity if they would only choose the blessing of life by following God's word. It was not the place itself. It was not Canaan itself. That was not the point. It's not, you get to Canaan, you've got life. No, you get life by choosing, and then God will bless you in Canaan. So it doesn't matter where we are. We can be in the promised land if we will choose God's life, choose His word, to live upon and feed upon His word. And a life of blessing. no matter where we are, no matter where we're in, whether in apartments or whether we're in assisted living or skilled nursing or memory care. No matter where we are, if we've chosen life, we're going to live in a land of blessing. And we're going to be taken at some point to the further land of blessing, great blessing. Well, he gave a little but there. And there's always a little but in these things. And you know something? It's important to look at the buts in Scripture. I know that sounds funny, but I have to say it that way. You do this, and this will happen. But if you do this, this will happen. We've got to look at that very importantly. But if they would not obey the God of love, they would experience death. Now, Pope John Paul, in his Theology of the Body, he sees in society today a culture of death. He says, our society has maintained a culture of death because we have broken away from our relationship with a God of love, whose very nature is love, and his very nature brings forth life. And this is evident in our world when it says no to life through abortion or war and many dehumanizing practices within the world. Death originally entered our world and continues to overshadow human lifestyles that ignore a relationship with the God of love and life. We invite the culture of death whenever we reject God's precepts, because that is life. We accept the culture of death. He's laid these down in his word. That's why it's so important for us to come to church, hear the word of God. So important for us not just to hear it, but to read it on a daily basis. So important for us to follow it in our lives when we come to decision to make. What does the word say? What does God show us? What is the way of life? Am I choosing life today, or am I choosing the culture of death that my society has told me? Death is a byproduct of listening to and following the lies of a deceiver. That's how it originally was, wasn't it? Death came by listening to and following the lies of a deceiver. But Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief, talking about Satan, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. God's will is life. Our faith connection, how we connect to the God of love by faith, our faith connection with God through listening to his word and obeying his commands, obeying his will, gives us not only abundant life in Christ, but transforms our minds, transforms our thinking to an attitude that sees all of our earthly journey as in terms of choosing life. In terms of life and choosing life. Those who choose life will hate war and will never willingly choose to wage war. Those who love life and choose life will see abortion as a choice of death that must be opposed. Those who choose life will call for severe sanctions against any government that allows human lives to be sold into slavery and prostitution. That is happening now today in this world at an unprecedented level, like it has never done before in the history of our planet. People, humans being sold, women and children being sold into slavery and prostitution. Happening now. The southern states and the slavery issue was never in comparison. It is gigantic, and it touches Asia and Africa, and those are the main two areas, but it pours over into Europe, and unfortunately, in some areas in the United States, and we don't even know it. When it's been found out, these kids that come out of these prostitution things, they've been sold into slavery. From the time they were children, that's all they've known is prostitution. They live in the United States. It's happening here. A culture of death by separating from the Word of God. We as individuals and as a nation are responsible to make a choice. We have to choose. There's no like, oh, I set before you life and death. That's what Moses was saying. We cannot choose not to choose. Because in a culture of death, we have chosen death if we choose not to oppose it. It's all around us. If we don't oppose it, then we've chosen it. Moses told the people, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life." We need to choose the Lord. God's will is life. His will, His plan, His purpose, the love that He has produces life. That's what it's for. That's what love does. Life comes from love. But to have life, we must obey the God of love. We must choose His Word. We must choose His will. It's His will to produce life, but we also must choose His will spoken to us and given to us. We must choose spiritual life. And when we do, we will stand up and speak out wherever life is being dragged into the culture of death. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love, your goodness, and your grace. Lord, in many ways, we have failed to resist the culture of death. In many ways, we have not spoken up when we should have. In many ways, our government has turned a blind eye to the dehumanizing prostitution and slavery that happens around the world. And it has done nothing. It's said nothing. It has maintained its politically correct talk with some of these nations when they have done nothing to stop what's going on in their countries. And even in our own country, Lord, some of these things have not been ferreted out. They've been overlooked by police agencies because whatever's happening in politics, I don't know, but it's not being done. It's not being rooted out. Father God, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us and deliver us from the culture of death by a culture of life transformed by your word and your will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.